Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. For devout Catholics and many other spiritual people, the 500-mile walk across northern Spain, known as the Camino de Santiago, is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and one of those moments that connect you to countless generations of walkers and pilgrims of the past. My guest today is documentary filmmaker Annie O'Neill, who for the past 9 years has been documenting, writing, and sharing experiences of the Camino through two documentary films as well as a book project. O'Neill was co-producer of the film Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago, which followed six pilgrims on their journey across Spain. That film, in turn, inspired Phil Volker, a Washington State resident of Vashon Island, a veteran and outdoorsman and Catholic suffering from stage 4 cancer, to take his own Camino, but in the backyard of his 10-acre home. Each day he would walk a prescribed trail, tracing his progress on a map to recreate El Camino de Santiago. This, in turn, has become the basis for O'Neill's latest project, Phil's Camino, a short documentary, which will have a free showing tonight at 7 o'clock at All Souls Unitarian Church. Annie O'Neill is the producer and director of the film and will introduce the showing as well as offer a question and answer session after the film. You can learn more about the film at philscamino.com. Annie O'Neill is my guest today. Annie O'Neill, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Well, the same here. You're now in the ninth year of an association with this amazing journey that so many people have taken across northern Spain, the El Camino de Santiago. Mm-hmm. It's about a month-long walk across northern Spain to this old mission where reportedly James Bones reside, the brother of Jesus. And it's an amazing spiritual journey for those who do take it. You've been involved with this for 9 years. What has that experience been like?
Well, it's been quite an interesting, it feels like an addition to my life. You know, before I walked the Camino, I thought, my life is really good. I'm the happiest person I know. The Camino isn't going to have that big an effect on me because, you know, I don't really need a healing or anything. But bam, you go there and you just walk and walk and walk every day. And this was before cell phones. And it just was walking and healing and walking and healing. And it's a chance to really commune with whatever you believe is higher. And it's with your past and where you're going and really resolve all sorts of things that you just had kind of put on the back burner. So it was a very profound experience for me, and it continues. One of the things that I noticed is when I came home, people would say, "How was your Camino?" And I kept thinking, wrong tense. It's present tense. It is. How is my Camino? Because this is my Camino.
Now, we think of this as a Catholic pilgrimage. Are you a Catholic?
Well, I was raised Catholic.
Would you consider yourself a Catholic today?
I'm Catholic in the sense that the word Catholic means universal.
Okay.
But I go
your faith tradition has evolved over time.
Yes.
Okay.
But I did find myself, when I was walking the first time, I found myself in churches all the time because it was a chance to sit down. It was a chance to be in somewhere kind of cool. And it just gave me a lot of time to think about that. And I found that I love the Catholic religion. I go to a church. I'm part of a church in Los Angeles, but it is the Agape Spiritual Center. It is called a trans-denominational church. So it is along with Catholic people and Jewish people, and people of all faiths go there.
And that's one thing about the Camino is it's sort of gone from being a Catholic pilgrimage to a spiritual pilgrimage overall, hasn't
it? Absolutely. There's every type of faith represented on the Camino, including atheists. Atheists walk the Camino too. It's beyond a one religion because there's nothing required of you. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to. No one asks you what your faith is. You know, there's just walking. There's walking and sleeping and eating.
Walking, going uphill, going downhill, walking through villages. And, of course, every village rolls out the red carpet for the pilgrimagers.
Yeah, that's true. The country of Spain is a Catholic country, and traditionally this is a Catholic pilgrimage. So there may be an assumption that a pilgrim is Catholic. And no matter what, many people in Spain have walked the Camino, so they know how hard it is. So when they see a pilgrim, they are extra kind. And there is a lot of, even if it's just someone leaning out their car window as they go by, going, Buen Camino, or Ultrea, which means, you know, kind of onward, to people opening their homes. And if there's no place to stay, they'll say, well, stay with me. And it's really lovely. It's lovely. And I think for a lot of people, mostly when you ask people about their experience on the Camino, they talk about the people. They say, yes, it's beautiful. Northern Spain is absolutely beautiful. But it's the people that you meet along the way that are so remarkable. And you meet people from all different countries and all different ages and all different ethnicities. Well, maybe it's not the most diverse place. But you meet people who have a different upbringing than you do, which is always a good thing.
And also you're getting away from all the hectic parts of your life for about a month. And, you know, probably the best thing to do is to get off email, get off cell phones, and sort of go within yourself for a month. And I think that's probably one of the most satisfying experiences. And certainly what the subject of your film did in his own way, Phil Volker in Phil's Camino. It's about getting away from all the normal things that interrupt your life, you know, or interrupt sort of all the jumble of thoughts, you know, the monkey mind, if you will, if we talk to the Buddhist.
Right. And it is really a chance to observe your monkey mind and then have an opportunity to really make some decisions and try out some ways of getting beyond monkey mind. You know, and I've walked twice and I didn't know where I would sleep every night. And that's a real freedom. And for me, I loved that. Some people don't like that and they make reservations along the way, but I just walked. I didn't know when I would stop. I just walked until I knew I had to stop. And so, yeah, there was no to-do list. There was no appointment list. And it was incredibly liberating. And so you really do think, so if we do take all of that away, what is left? Who is left? Who am I without my job? Who am I without my spouse? Who am I without what I do in the world? And, you know, those are big questions. And having a chunk of time, like 6 weeks is what took me to walk the Camino Frances, having a chunk of time to really live those questions is amazing. What a gift.
Yeah. Now, tell us about this project, this short film you've done that they'll have the showing, Phil's Camino. This actually comes out of a previous film you did, Walking the Camino.
Yes, Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago, was a feature documentary that I started co-producing in 2008. And then I was in that film when I walked the Camino Frances in 2009. And it came out in 2013. And had a great response for a independent documentary feature. It was, you know, really well received, and anybody who was interested in the Camino tried to find that film and watch it. And it's a wonderful film. And I was lucky enough also to travel a little bit with that film and do Q&As, which was really, really great. Really great. Got to meet lots of people all over America and Canada. It was wonderful. And I was also, during that process, I was working out, you know, the adding the Camino to my life in Los Angeles. And part of that was writing a book. And I wrote this book that was kind of my response to, no, the Camino is still going on. And so for me, that was a big part of kind of adapting to life after the Camino, was writing the book to kind of state, no, you don't have to go to Spain to do the Camino. It's right now, right here, wherever you are. So that was Everyday Camino with Annie. So that was kind of how I...
So if I can ask about putting the Camino in your everyday life, how does that work for you? Is it a matter of taking time to just sort of spend a moment in what some people would call meditation? Taking time if you're, say, in traffic in L.A. and you're not moving, instead of focusing on the car in front of you, you look out at the hills that are you know, beautiful Southern California, one of the most beautiful locations in the world. Taking time to spend time looking at nature as you're stuck in traffic. What does it mean, actually?
Well, it is all of those things. Those were really a big part of it. Meditating every day, I just believe, is the fast track to happiness and the fast track to knowing yourself and to being comfortable with yourself. So I think also I look for opportunities to walk, and I look for opportunities to help other people. You know, in walking the Camino Six Ways to Santiago, I had a really hard time walking the Camino. I had a lot of physical problems. And the kindness that other people showed me changed me. And I don't think I was an awful person before the Camino, but I think I'm actively looking for ways to help other people now in small ways. You know, some of the things that people did that were so meaningful to me, I think if I could find those people and say, like, do you remember me? We had that incredible moment. I actually think they might not even remember.
Oh, but they made an amazing impact on you.
Amazing impact on me. Mm-hmm. There was a German man who I was struggling so hard, and I was just determined, like, do or die kind of mentality, and I wasn't asking for any help. And he saw me, and I saw him see me. I saw him take in the way I was hobbling and take in my pack and how I was using my poles. And he just came over, and he just took my backpack. Mm. He just said, I'll carry this. And I wouldn't have asked, because it wasn't what I did at that point in my life. I think I'm much better now. But he just saw what needed to be done, and he did it. And I'd like to think that that's how I, you know, aspire to live now. If I see something needs to be done, I'll do it, whether it's, you know, something major or something tiny. I don't think he would even remember carrying my backpack. And yet, I think of this guy almost every day of my life.
Mm. That's a good thing to think about, actually.
Yeah.
Really.
And I think one of the best comments anyone ever made to me about walking the Camino was someone said, and so this is part of the film, mm-hmm. this German man who helped me. He said, you know, I saw your film and it really inspired me, and now I want to go walk the Camino. And he paused and he said, I want to be somebody's German man. I want to walk the Camino and look for ways to help someone.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so beautiful. And what if we could all be somebody's German man, like, every day in our lives? That would be so lovely. What a great world.
So. My guest today is Annie O'Neill, a documentary filmmaker and the producer and director of Phil's Camino. A screening will take place tonight at 7 o'clock at All Souls Unitarian Church with a question and answer after the film.
Yes.
And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, this film, Walking the Camino, the feature film, had an effect on Phil Volker, who lives on Vashon Island, out in Puget Sound off Seattle. How did this film affect him?
Walking the Camino played in Seattle for 11 weeks. So at one point, I just put something on Facebook like, wow, Seattle, thank you so much. You know, I hope I can get up there someday to do a Q&A. And Rebecca Graves, Phil's wife, wrote to me and she said, oh, Annie, we saw that film and we loved it and we love you. Thank you so much for what you went through in that film. It was so inspiring. And she said, my husband has stage 4 cancer. And then she did one of those things on Facebook where she must have pressed return too soon. So it just went like mid-sentence posting. And then she started again, and again it happened. And then finally she went, oh, forget it. And I thought, I want to hear the rest of this story. So I contacted her, and she said, my husband doesn't do Facebook, but he wanted to write you something. So he wrote me one of the most beautiful letters I've ever gotten. And he just said, I loved seeing you in Walking the Camino. And I don't know what Rebecca told you about my deal here, but we have 10 acres on Vashon Island, and I've made my own Camino. And it goes through pasture and woods, and I walk it every day that I don't have treatment. And at first I was trying to conquer the Camino, but now I'm just happy to be walking it. And he ended it with, come walk with me, love, Phil. And I took my laptop into my husband. I said, where is Vashon Island? You know, I read him the letter, and he said, wow, it's off Seattle. And within 2 weeks, I was up there walking Phil's Camino. Hmm. And I said to him, you know, Phil, this would make a great film. I think I could do a good little film about this. And he just laughed. And then I came home, and we kept emailing each other. And I was proofreading my book. I decided to proofread my book, which is 40 kind of daily meditations that are the 40 days that I walked the Camino Frances. So each day I had a group of friends that I would email them one day to, you know, be like someone reading the book. And he became part of that group. And that's when the two of us really bonded, because he started to read my entries and he would reply with his response to it. And he would reply all. And all of my friends started going, who's this guy, Phil? He's really great. Because he would just respond with how it made him feel or what he thought or a vignette from his own life. And after that, we were so bonded that when I would, you know, I just was persistent enough in asking him, could we do this? Could we do this? It would really make an impression on other people if we could tell your story.
Now, this started out as a personal journey for him. As just he has this property on the island, and he sort of created a track, and he would do laps, basically, to sort of replicate the mileage, I guess.
Or... Yes, and he would keep track on a map of Spain. So in his first letter to me, he said, I'm just outside of Burgos. And that was a really, really poignant thing, too, because I had to take some rest days in Burgos. So it was the one time, you know, when you're a pilgrim, you don't buy tchotchkes and souvenirs or anything because you don't want to carry
anything. Is it right? Wait.
But when I was in Burgos, I bought a little something and I mailed it to my husband. So my husband can't take a boat, so he couldn't go to meet Phil. But he went when we were leaving to go to Seattle, he went and he got the little pilgrim souvenir that I got for him, and he said, give this to Phil for me.
Mm.
So it was from Burgos. It had a little sign. So I was able to bring him. I brought Phil my own shell from my pack and gave it to him, and I brought him the little pilgrim from Burgos from my husband.
So at the beginning of Phil's Camino, this is really a story of how he's created his own Camino in his backyard, so to speak.
Yeah.
But it became much bigger than that as the film went on, as you began filming.
Yes, it really did. I mean, that's the thing with documentaries, is they can start as one thing and they can really develop into something.
Frustratingly, too, at times, because that's why documentaries take years.
Yes. But, you know, for me, the message always of this film from the very beginning was, what do you do when you get a big no? When what you want to do just ain't going to happen. Because it happens to all of us, whether it's in your job or in your relationship or with your health, you get some news that you really don't want to get. And it really looks like what you want is not going to happen. Your dream is not going to happen. What do you do in that moment? What do you do? And maybe that's where our character comes forth. Because what I saw Phil do was do something that is so much bigger in now that we can see it. It's so much bigger than the 500 miles in Spain. He's had over 200 people since Phil's Camino has been out. Over 200 people have seen the film and made arrangements and gone to Seattle and walked with him.
Hmm.
So he's had the world come to him, including a Chinese filmmaker saw this film at the Palm Springs Shorts Fest last year. And he got me on the phone and he said, listen, I'm going back to China, but before I go to China, I have to meet Phil. I want to go walk with him. So he went to Seattle and walked with Phil and then went back to China. So, you know, it's just incredible to me. There's someone from Tulsa who's walked with Phil. It's amazing what he has done. And I think that really is true. When we all look back on our lives and we think of what we wanted and couldn't have, and if we were open, we got something much bigger, something that we might not have even been able to dream about.
When you think about all the costs associated with going to Spain to walk the Camino, I mean, really, isn't Phil getting the same or better benefit, or a spiritual benefit in a way, of just walking his land every day? And taking that same sort of meditative view that people hope to get on this 500-mile journey across Spain.
Yeah. You know, Phil is a very funny guy and a very charming and charismatic guy. And he likes to say that, you know, because Phil and I, when we met each other, we just felt like we had met, like, a deep friend bond. You know, we really clicked. And he says he had the lab and I wrote the textbook. But we're talking about the same thing. Your Camino is right here and right now. Because it really, it just seems like it must be mathematically impossible. If the only place you could get a spiritual experience was in Spain, that just seems like against natural law, you know? Like, look at how many flowers we have and, you know, how many beautiful sunrises and sunsets we see in our lives. How could the one place be in Spain? You know,
and it isn't.
Yeah, it isn't. It's right in your backyard. It's the walk between where you live and where you work. Or it's the walk between parking in the furthest away part of the parking lot into the supermarket. You know, like that is our Camino. So that's my book. And then there's Phil, you know, with the lab.
Mm. Now, when you met Phil, he was at stage four. Mm-hmm. And but he was improving at this point because this whole... I mean, you know, I'm sure it's a mixture of medicine, modern medicine, and this outlook that he had, but he was actually improving, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a really amazing thing. Phil has a doctor. So Phil loves all of his doctors, and he has the kind of doctors that we would all wish to have. He really has a team, and the team is doctors, the team is nurses, the team is physical therapists. The team is the person who welcomes him in for his chemo treatments. You know, it is such an incredible thing to see. So his doctor, Dr. David Zucker, is a physiatrist, an oncological physiatrist, and he really believes that this is the next wave of cancer treatment, is incorporating physical activity into your chemo regime. And so I am nowhere near a doctor, so I feel always a little tentative to talk about this, but I will say that Dr. Zucker certainly believes this wholeheartedly, and Phil is kind of the poster child. Phil had stage four cancer. He still has stage four cancer, but he is still with us, and he feels the difference between having chemo when he did not do any exercise program. But it's totally not like Phil to go to a gym and walk on a treadmill. So when he had to go back for chemo for the second time, he said, I'm going to do this differently. I'm going to walk. You know, and he was already bitten by the Camino de Santiago bug and wanted to walk. So he is doing this now, and his doctors have walked with him. His nurses have walked with him. His physical therapist has walked with him. You know, again, this idea of a team, that's in there somewhere too, in this incredible healing experience that is Phil's life.
Yeah. I don't want to give too much away about the film.
I know. It's hard, though, isn't it?
But let's just say, you know, he improves to the point where he has another walking experience, perhaps the one he desired in the first place.
It's pretty miraculous what happens.
Yeah.
It's pretty miraculous. And I always feel, I never know whether to say it or not either. I think you just handled that very well, so I'll leave it at that. But there is a, you know, when we had our premiere at South by Southwest last year, there is a moment where the audience burst into applause during the film. Mm. So something really good happens.
Yeah. Was that experience everything he hoped for? Because, I mean, I could see where he could say, man, walking my pasture was just as good or better.
And that is, he has been asked, that's exactly what he says. He says, yeah, there's no difference. Mm. And he's walking, he's probably walking today. And he, for the local people, he has a whiteboard up in his driveway that says the walking
schedule. That's right, there's a little scene in the film.
Yeah. And it changes from season to season, the times. Mm-hmm. And people show up. Sometimes there's five people that walk with him. Sometimes there's none.
My guest today is Annie O'Neill, documentary filmmaker and the producer and director of the short documentary Phil's Camino. It's her second film about the Camino de Santiago. Her first film was a feature documentary, Walking the Camino, which she was featured in. And a screening will take place tonight at 7 at All Souls Unitarian Church. With a question and answer about the film after the film, and she'll introduce the film as well. It'll be a little special event.
Yeah, and that's free.
Yeah.
And everyone is welcome. There will be things to purchase as we are continuing to work on Phil's Camino to expand it to an hour-long version.
Mm.
So, but everyone is welcome for free.
Now, that was my next question. You know, you've spent 9 years with this journey. as a documentary filmmaker, are you still involved with the Camino in a way, or Phil's Camino, or are you looking at other subjects at this particular point?
Well, I do love the Camino, and it just is part of my life. I have been back to walk a second time. I walked the Camino Primitivo for my second Camino.
And what's the difference? I don't know the difference.
The Camino Frances began in France, walked mm-hmm. over the Pyrenees, and then
right.
across almost in a mostly straight line kind of across Spain. And that's the Camino Frances. Whether you start in France or you start in Pamplona, that route is called the Camino Frances. The Camino Primitivo starts north of that in Oviedo and then walks south and ends up. All roads lead to Santiago de Compostela,
okay.
where the cathedral is. But it's much different, and it was much less populated, and it was very solo experience and just magnificent.
Were you camping out along the way, or was it more of you're still hitting villages and
yeah,
small towns?
You still hit the villages and small towns, just not as frequently. There's much more rural walking in between. And there's also paths that come from the south, from Portugal, from the north. There's many, many Caminos. The Camino Frances is just the most well-known and the most mm-hmm. The most villages.
I think most people know the Pamplona de Santiago,
yeah,
sort of.
Yeah.
And so what's it like going over the Pyrenees?
It is mind-blowingly beautiful. And it's one of the first days if you start in
Santiago. Yeah, but it's like I could see where you could get discouraged and not ever make it over the dang things. Because
yeah.
you're going up.
You're going up, which is difficult. I found it actually more difficult to go downhill.
Yeah, that too.
So, but there's no way around it. Once you're up, you got to go downhill. It is, the Pyrenees are in that first flush of excitement. So in some ways, it's, your best shot at getting across the Pyrenees is when you're so excited.
Yeah, but I talk with people, the Appalachians, who've done the Appalachian Trail. It says, the first days are the worst. And the people that are successful in, say, doing something like the Appalachian Trail or a section of the Appalachian Trail, they watch people drop out for the first week. Or a week and a half or 2 weeks.
I think that's true.
Just going up and down and up and down. And I would think the same would be true.
I think that's true of the Camino Frances. People often drop out by day four. People say, the common wisdom is if you can get past day four, you're probably going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting. There's no doubt about it. And you can hurt yourself by ignoring your body signals or by just pushing through things that really you should not push through. I will say that, people who are in chemo have a cycle, and they do talk about their best days and their worst days. And Phil's worst day in his chemo cycle, because Phil went to chemo one day in July, and then he got on an airplane. And his worst day in his chemo cycle
was probably the first day of the walk.
The Pyrenees.
Wow. People can see for themselves at the showing tonight at All Souls Unitarian Church. The name of the film is Phil's Camino. Annie, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Documentary filmmaker Annie O'Neill speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. Her film Phil's Camino has a free showing tonight at 7 at All Souls Unitarian Church. You can learn more at philscamino.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.